So I'm going to consider with a little introduction here, and then we'll get started into John chapter 18 to 36. But basically, the conclusion that I'm going to draw from that is the book of John really, it is talking about God as our Savior and God as our salvation, but it's not necessarily talking about God being our King currently as Gentiles. So that's really important when we think about what's going on in the world right now and what is happening in the world, because it certainly is obvious right now that there's not much control happening in our world, and that would indicate that he hasn't taken that role yet. So even though God, when he speaks, he can always speak in the now and in the present, in reality, he is not necessarily well, he's not visible right now, and he's not actually speaking right now, and not telling us what to do. And he's not really ruling as our king, but he has been resurrected. He does exist, and he does he does several functions, and so I guess the thing I'm trying to think is should we think of him as our king? Or is it better if we just think of him as our Savior, and as our head? I think those terms kind of fit more what his role is right now. As God Almighty, obviously he can take on more than one role at a time, and that's not a problem for him to do that. But it's just going to be a little different way of considering our topic. And so I want to just address John 18, and I kind of end up proving this by going to some other books just briefly, but he's never referred to as anything. And this is kind of what prompted this. I got a letter, a phone call about this person was upset. It's an article that I had shared on Oscar Baker a few years back, but the person was upset because they believe that Jesus Christ is a Jew, that he's the Savior for Israel, and that he's not our Savior. He's not our King. I think that's a thing that they're misunderstanding, that God has a new hope and calling going on today, and he's invisible, and there's very few people who recognize him in Ephesians and in Colossians recognizing him as King. But it's not wrong for God to have more than one title. It certainly is not wrong for him to be acknowledged, or I guess worshipped, as our King, except he's just not being active right now. So when we rightly divide the Word of God, and as we read the Book of Revelations, we can see where in the future, when after Satan sets up, the temple gets built, and then he sets himself up in that temple to be king, then he certainly, at that point in time, will be the king. So John is making clear that he is not currently the king over Israel per se, because of the, this other role that he's playing as being our head. I hope that that kind of makes some sense. What I have said, I'm going to go down to verse 36, and it states, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." So when I have stated in the past that the book of John was true for today, it in and of itself isn't approved by these verses. When he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," when God speaks, he certainly could be this already, but if we rightly divide, we'd have to suggest that he's not. And he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." So they're not recognizing him. The Jews weren't recognizing him as king. They wouldn't accept him. It says in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So it says, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." So even though he's not ruling as the king, mainly because Israel rejected him, he still has that title. And it says he was born to that end, and therefore it was from God's approval, from God's point of view, he is the king, even though we don't really have that established until we get into Paul's epistles, mainly his last seven. And there we see him declared as the king. So, that's my introduction. Hopefully that made what I discovered a little clearer. I think it's very important that we see that and acknowledge it. So going back to our word salvation, it says, he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that some believe not, for Jesus knew who they were. He says, "No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From the time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, then said Jesus to the 12, "Will you also go away?" And then Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that you are sure that thou artest the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this is in John chapter 6, verses 63 to 69. He says, some time ago, there was this comment someone had called me about, and he was taking the negative about this, since it wasn't mentioned that he was the king of the Gentiles. But he goes on to say that there's a manuscript in a book had written to explain why the Gospel of John was not true for today. And he was arguing my thoughts on it. Well, the basis of the whole argument was the Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew, and that the total record was of the King Savior of Israel. And all his words were said to and for the Israelites that he was Jewish Savior coming into the world. But we know, as we read further, especially in Paul's epistles, that he was not only the Savior, which is a very important thing that he did. You really have to be saved before you can even start understanding the book of John or Paul's prison epistles. But he is going to save the Jews after they accept him as king and after he returns, like I said in the book of Revelations. But he says, the point this guy's arguing doesn't really suggest that he understands right division, or that he understands that in the book of John, he's not declared as the king, although he states it when he was talking to that, to the king that was over him and had the power to be able to have him crucified. So it's kind of nitpicking in a way a little bit this statement that guy made, but on the other hand, it is what the book of John was written for, to reveal who God is and some of the things that he accomplished in this life, in this world, and that he desired to be the king. He was born to be the king. The Jews just would not accept that truth. So he says, I understand the one divine purpose in the Gospel of John, which is to make known the world of lost mankind that the divine Savior of the one nation of Israel has now become the one Savior of all men. And we would certainly say that includes human beings and women. And he says no other such message can be found. No other record exists that can do what this one has done in setting forth for all to see the Lord's certification and his authenticity as the one true Messiah, which being interpreted is the Christ of God. So John's message is a divine historical record of the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the whole world. And we think more that rather than thinking this of taking away the sin, he became the sin offering. Remember the passage that says the wages of sin is death. Well, when Christ died that death on the cross and was buried, rose again on the third day, and he was seen by many witnesses, that established the fact that his sin offering, given his life, was accepted by God. So he said the format of its message is not to offer the king and bringing Gentiles, king to the Gentiles, never to even mention made it bringing Gentiles into the one kingdom hope of Israel. So that's sort of that is where I feel like myself I have to change my opinion of what was said in the book of John and what was stated and why he wasn't stated as the king of the Gentiles, because he hadn't achieved that office yet. He hasn't returned the second time, and when he does return, he will certainly return to Israel, but he also will be at that time be considered to be the kingdom of the Gentiles. So he says the earthly parousia, the Greek word, or his personal presence as king of Israel, is never in view. In fact, it is this record that the Lord said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, which I've, and I've already quoted that earlier, of that statement being made. I know that God knows who he is. His statement about the kingdom is not of this world, that was accurate at the time he said it, because he never actually took that position. We know there's a lot of history that has to take place before he can actually state the fact that he is, his kingdom is of this world. This is one of the most interesting aspects to note, is how many Jewish things become conspicuous by their absence. There's nothing in this dispensation of God, though John the Beloved, or our face obedience today, except to just believe the record that is given as a man is believing new life is coming. That certainly is true for today. But it's just, what I was trying to prove and what I had stated earlier just wasn't the whole truth. Because these things have not happened yet. Now the Savior part, being the Savior, that is certainly true. And like he stated here, the fact is that even though he's not, Satan is still the prince of power of the air, and he still controls the media, and even though he's not the king per se of the Gentiles currently, but this point of being the biblical salvation is really, really important, because there's not another Savior. There's not somebody else that's going to accomplish that role. When the Lord comes the second time, he displaces Satan, who's going to be cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then that point that he's making there, that's when these things all come to pass. The salvation is clearly seen, and he'll be visible here on the earth and in this world. So he says the grand and the consuming subject of biblical salvation and its purpose in the great outworking of the living Creator has held our attention for some months now, but only recently have I thought of him as not necessarily being our king, but rather being our head. And I think that's important to acknowledge that. I can't remember too many people that I've talked to about this distinction, but I thought I should share it and make my thoughts clear on this particular topic. So it says, how to know an aspect of salvation holds more interest and concern to both the Father of glory and the company of fading saints, which were chosen in Christ Jesus to make known that glory. So part of this this term salvation is declaring his glory. It's a position that's extremely important, especially to us, because we are members of his body. But it says, we have seen the salvation of God is running throughout all the Creator's workings with and in all creation. The welfare of all is resting in and on the salvation of God. Man is instructed to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation is every form of the Lord. No other has any part in any aspect of his salvation. The divine injunction has never been more important than in Ephesians. Each and every saint of God in Christ must stand still and be still. In other words, we shouldn't try to add anything to this or take anything away from it, but rather just accept it in the way and manner in which it was written. And look for the salvation of God set forth in the gospel of the salvation of you. Ephesians 1:13. So let's turn to Ephesians. I always like to bring the mystery back into focus, even though I think the book of John is one of the most important ones that we read. Ephesians 1, and I think it was 13, if I wrote it down correctly. 18, Ephesians 1:18. So he says, I'm going to start out with 10. It says, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. A very important fact to remember is that as members of his body, we are in Christ. That's how he sees us. He says, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. I think I may have lost the sound here a second. It says that, no, I'm good. So I just lost the screen. Good, I'm glad I'm still on. I don't have to do any repeating that way. So he goes on to say that in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's beautiful when you think about God having a plan and then rolling out that plan in his timing. And it was his will to do it in the manner and fashion in which he did, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. I think there were some saints that after Paul started to, he was given the mystery, then that was also revealed to others, and they began to see it. It says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So, you know, this is certainly true for today, and our salvation is certainly secure. And God is in the business of saving us continually. The very breath that we have, if he would take it away, we would be gone. And it says, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit, the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, and to the praise of his glory. Wherefore, and you know, all this was done before the foundation of the world. So the beauty of it is we've been paid for, and that we have this inheritance, this hope, this calling, and we can rest assured that God has secured it for us, and no one can take it away. He says, wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, this is the Apostle Paul stating this, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So what we have revealed in Ephesians is certainly more information than we had in the book of John. But when we're talking about being a Savior, it's the same Savior in the book of John. He's just been added, he has added to himself more responsibilities concerning his body that he chose to reveal to Paul, to us, as we read it and try to understand what he, everything he's trying to accomplish. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. When I think about his mighty power, I realize if all his power was put in us, we'd probably blow a circuit and wouldn't be able to live. But I think there's enough power given to us that we know and recognize that he dwells within us, and that we accomplish many things through his power, and we should give him credit for those things, including being our Savior. He says in verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, or his rightful position in the heavenly places. Now, he hasn't, as I've said earlier, hasn't taken that position yet. He's not visible right now. But when his body has been resurrected and we complete him, and he completes us, and then this will happen. We can bank on it. He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He's finally going to be able to accomplish and do and reveal what he intended to do with this creative power when he started things. It says, and he has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. I'm trying to think if I should close on anything else. I think that pretty much covers what I was trying to accomplish by clarifying what the salvation is referred to. Let's close with that. Let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, because I've stated this, but I'd like to just quote it. This tells you why this book is written. It's John 20, and I think it's 31. He says, They were asking him questions. He's getting ready to be resurrected into the heavens, and the disciples are going to miss him, of course. And he says that this book of John says many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And so the things that were necessary to prove his point of who he is and what he's accomplished are written in this book of, not only in the book of John, but I think all the scriptures. And if we take the time to try to understand what he's accomplished, then it does bring him more glory. It does make us think more highly of him. And it does cause us to want to serve him and claim him as our Savior because of his finished work. He says, but these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And we know by, which we're not going to cover tonight, but we know by reading in the last seven epistles that Paul wrote, that we certainly have a more to be thankful for than perhaps others that weren't predestinated and chosen to be members of his body. We can only be thankful that God was desirous to include us in his plan and to further glorify his titles of creator and salvation. Those two terms are very, very important and have meant more to me since I've done this study. So, with that, I am going to close, and I thank you for being patient and sticking with me through my troubles I was having. I've actually been talking on PowTalk on my new computer, and so I wasn't sure how to get this little microphone to show up, but with Tony's help, and I think there was another person that helped me too, give me more details on what to do. And with my wife's help, I shouldn't leave her out. We were able to get on and accomplish what we were trying to talk about. Not saying I'm done with this topic. There'll still be other studies that I'm going to be doing because I'm trying to get to know God as deeply and as the best I can to believe the truth about who he is and what he has done for us as Savior and as Creator and as a loving God. He deeply cares about us. So I'm going to go ahead and take my mic off, and if anybody got any comments they want to make, they can certainly do that. And I'm going to say goodnight.